Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi, Psalm 25. Psalm 25 introduces us to the poetic tool of acrostic, a tool widely used in biblical poetry and prominently in Psalms 145, Ashrei, 34, and 119, in which eight times it's a repeated acrostic. Psalm 25 begins verse 1 with Aleph, and then again in verse 2, followed by two bets, and with a third verse, a gimel. But verse 5 contains a hey and a vav, while verse 18 skips the letter kuf and inserts a resh, which is repeated at the beginning of verse 19. Well, sometimes letters are lost, other times they're embedded in one verse or another letter. It's all part of the poetic process, and that's what this mizmor does. An acrostic is often used as a mnemonic, a poetic tool used for memory. With regard to biblical poetry, we might suggest, based on the value that the Gemara gives the idea of the Aleph Bet in Tehillim, that it represents the totality of praise to God, meaning that there's no realm at which praise of God does not find expression. Rav Shimshon Feldhirsch, in his commentary on the first verse, notes that the word mizmor, or any appellation connected to a song or some melodic inspiration, is absent in this psalm. He sees David's words as a straightforward expression of his thoughts and emotions. And I wonder if maybe David or the psalmist realized that this, despite trying as hard as he could to make this into a coherent, melodious psalm, is a bit lacking in the uniformity of what a psalm is supposed to usually achieve. And this we will see as we read through the Mizmor. Amos Chacham sees this psalm and it says it's divided into 11 sections. Now this is unheard of. There are 22 verses. Why is it divided 11 ways? And yet it implies that the author seems to be jumping from one theme to the next without developing any specific one in depth. The verse, I might say that there are 9 sections, but not 11, but nevertheless, there aren't 2 or 3. So we really have to ask ourselves what's happening in this mizmor. The first 3 say as follows. David, Elecha Adonai nafshi esa. To you, my God, my soul becomes uplifted. Something to that effect. Then he continues, Elohai, Becha batachti al evosha, al yaltzu oivaili, gam kol kovecha yol lo yevoshu, yevoshu habogdim reikam. God, I trust in you, so let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Also, let none who awaits on you be ashamed, and those who transgress without cause, let them be ashamed. Well, the guarding word in this small unit is the word busha, shame. It appears 3 times prominently. And the idea we've encountered specifically in Psalm 6, in which he curses his enemies with shame. This is a theme that runs through with David HaMelech. And maybe the psalmist is reflecting that. A similar phrase is found in Psalm 22, where he states, Becha batchu velo boshu, trust in God without shame. Similar words that we will find throughout the Mizmorim and Tehillim. In section 2, verses 4 to 7, he calls out to God in supplication, first in asking for guidance, saying, show me your ways, and then for education, teach me. The second half, he asks God to remember kindness and compassion and to not to recall the sins of his youth. Derechecha Adonai hodieni, orchotecha lamdeni, make me know your ways, God, teach me your paths. I've waited for you all day. I wait for you all day. Lead me in your truth. Remember your compassion and your loving kindness. And then, but don't remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but rather, according to your loving kindness, you should remember for your sake. There's a danger in asking God to remember. Once he engages in that endeavor, he begins to remember everything about the individual, those we want him to recall and those we don't. For this reason, David audaciously asks God to remember and not remember. Section 3 is another mini unit in which the psalmist speaks about God in the Nistar. Remember, that means that he's not speaking to God directly, but rather about God and his qualities. It reminds us a bit of Ashrei. Tov v'yashar Adonai alkein yoreh chataim badarech, yadrich anavim b'mishpat v'ilamed anavim d'arko. Kol orchav Adonai chetzved emet v'notzrei v'rito v'edotav. God is good and straight and will teach sinners the proper path. He will guide people to justice. All the ways of God are kindness and truth. And then verse 11 adds a personal request, which the psalmist for forgiveness, which perhaps is a throwback to verse 7, in which he asks God not to mention the sins of his youth, because he recites, "Leman shimcha Adonai b'salachta l'avoni kiravhu." For your name, God, please forgive my sins, for they are many. Now, after several verses of praise, he goes back to that thought that is might have been gnawing at him. My sins, my sin, my sins. And therefore, he repeats it just one verse, even after the three verses. And then suddenly as it came, it shifts. The next section, verses 12 to 14, praises the individual who fears God, follows in his God's path. So this is a different type of mizmor, and we'll see this several times in Tehillim. And he starts speaking the praise of the individual. Right? At some level, it's Psalm 1, and we see this in Psalm 111 as well. He speaks of the rewards this individual will receive in inheriting the earth, physical rewards, closest to God, unlocking the secrets of God, and informing him of the covenant. Who is the person who fears God, who God will show the proper path, nashov betov talin dezaro yirash haaretz, God will provide for him, and his seed will inherit the land, so that nalireav u'tol hodiyam. And then, once again, after like this mini unit of three, another verse that slips in. Einai tamid el Adonai ki hu yotzi mireshet reglai. My eye is always on God, for he brings me out of crisis. The psalmist, wanting to align himself with the Ish HaYareh Hashem, the one who fears God, in the previous unit, declares that he too fears God. So we have this riddle of three verses of one unit, and then all of a sudden one verse in which he adds some idea, and then he reminds him of an idea that he had from previous, and he goes back to three verses about some other theme, and then he comes back and forth and back and forth. Verses 16 to 20, turn to God in hope that he saves him from his enemies. Pnei elai v'chaneni, ki yachid v'ani ani. Turn to me, God, be kind to me, for I am alone and I am impoverished. Please bring me out of my distress. See my pain and my affliction and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for there are many, they hate me. Shamra nafshi v'atzileni al evosh ki chasiti vach. Keep my soul and save me. I will not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. The penultimate verse, the next to last verse, asks God for personal salvation. For after all, he waited and yearned for God during the time of crisis. And then the final verse of the psalm, asks God to bring salvation for all of Israel. Tom v'yosher yitzruni ki kiviticha, straightness, wholeness, guide me on this path for you, for I have faith in you. And then p'dei Elohim et Yisrael mikol tzortav. God should redeem all of Israel from its enemies. The psalm, on the one hand, uses a poetic tool of acrostic, which should give off the feeling of completeness and perhaps unity from A to Z. And yet, once we analyze the verses, we find it anything but unified, with many different sections seemingly unfocused. Some units call to God, others speak of man. Some ask for personal salvation, others for God to protect against enemies. Some last several verses, others one line. It feels like the psalmist is distracted by his enemies, his burdens, and even his sins. All this creates a disjointed psalm. It's a bit all over the place. And yet, perhaps that is sometimes how we feel in our day-to-day lives. When anxiety takes hold of us, when our thoughts are not uniform, when we're troubled. And we wonder if our erratic thoughts, do they have a voice as well? And the psalmist helps us realize that ultimately all these emotions can still have the same address. And we end the message with the essential verse with which it began. To you, God, my soul will be lifted up. Only when God is constant before him will he be able to rise up from the mire and extricate himself from it towards ultimate salvation. Shalom.